Charles Darwin did not invent the concept of evolution. There were many naturalists before and contemporary with Darwin who accepted the idea that there could be change of species over time, what they called transmutation of species. But what was interesting about Charles Darwin's contribution was that he was able to find a driving mechanism for this process, natural selection. And others who had come before him, including his own grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, and Lamarck, a French naturalist, and others, had all resorted to explanations that had not been satisfactory to the scientific community. A part of that was that these explanations were often of a rather supernatural nature, or that there was inbuilt in nature itself a developmental process that was unfolding. One of the ironies of the pre-Darwinian evolutionists and Darwin's own period was that not a single explanation was coming forward at that time to explain the origins of diversity itself. What was happening to diversity, we felt we understood in part through natural selection. But what caused the diversity? What initiated the changes that we see in individuals living in the same population? Human paleontologists and other evolutionists are not arguing about the evidence of evolution. They're not debating whether evolution is a fact of nature or not. Well, it is evolutionary theory. Nonetheless, it is treated as fact, just as the theory of gravity is treated as fact. Rather, the issues that are raised have to do with the mechanisms that may have operated to produce certain kinds of results. That is, why did our brains get larger? Why have our teeth become smaller? What are the differences in our degree of overall body muscularity over the several million years of human evolution? Those are the questions that we want to ask. And those are the questions which in many ways are finding answers today. However, what's the alternative to this? Well, alternative to evolutionary theory, and there are many, but one is the Judeo-Christian tradition of creation on a certain day of a week, and the idea that the species created, including humans, are immutable, unchanging over time. Diversity enters into the early human condition, according to the first 11 chapters of Genesis, with the murder of Abel, also with the flood and the dispersion of all but eight people who happened to survive in the ark, the sons of Noah, who then moved to different places of the earth and established the different so-called races, and finally, linguistic diversity at the embarrassing incident at the Tower of Babel, where no one could understand what the other person was saying. Now, this biblical tradition is, of course, widely accepted in Western thought today. But let's keep in mind that it is one creation myth among thousands that exist in many different cultures. What we're looking at in creation myths are explanations that have very little, if anything, to do with natural history, but have a great deal to do with the human condition. Cultural behavior, which is behavior outside the genetic system, behavior that we learn as members of society, has of course affected evolutionary change. And evolution has been a process whereby we have attained some of the physical and intellectual capacities to alter our own lives. But the alternative to evolution is to look at mechanisms that are no longer, if ever, understandable and acceptable to the scientific community. The power of the fossil record is that it documents these changes and evolution is the basis for understanding modification over time and why we are different from our fossil ancestors of a few million years ago.